Craig Button in studio.
Did you see that tweet about Altuve? They originally cut him. And he showed up the next day, and they were like, what are you doing here? We cut you. He goes, no, you got to watch me play. You haven't seen me play yet.
That's Rudy.
It was Rudy.
He's Rudy Rudiker.
They handed him 15 grand, basically, to just leave them alone. Like, here's 15 grand. You're on the team, Rudy.
Go away.
He's winning MVPs. And
that's amazing.
Hitting the biggest home run maybe in franchise
history. Did you ever play against a guy by the name of Andy Bizzo?
I know Andy. I played with him.
Did you play Andy?
One of the scariest gentlemen.
Andy was playing with Niagara Falls back in the day with Keith Primo, Brad May, Brian Fogarty, Stan Drulia. I mean, they had a hell of a team. They were the best team in Ontario. So it was like down to the wire. I was laughing in my car when you said, I've never been cut. What do you mean cut? I've never been cut. I loved it anyway. So they cut him. So he shows up the next day, and the assistant coach is going, Andy's here. So they start talking. So Bill LaForge was the coach.
Oh,
and he goes, like, what's happening? Why is this guy here? I go, I don't know. We got the message to him, didn't we? I think so. So they call him in. They go, well, you know, Andy, like, you know, we cut you. He goes, yeah, I know. Well, like, what's going on? He goes, yeah, that was yesterday. Today's a whole new day. And he made the team. He stayed on the team. They kept them on the team.
Basically showed up every day for work.
Yeah. Right. Well, Larry David was the original.
And that was a hell of a team they had that year at Niagara Falls.
Yeah, because Larry David stormed in at SNL because they weren't using any of his skits as a writer.
Yeah.
And he quit, and he showed back up on Monday as if it didn't happen, which is a spectacular move. I would feel too awkward. If I got cut, I can't walk back in there the next day.
Yeah, but like, I mean, but you say that, but I mean, this is something that makes, that separates different people.
Right? Oh, exactly. He's confident.
Now, I played with him 100 years ago. He had, I believe, in the East Coast League, 500 minutes 1 year. Like, he had the most amount of... He's this big.
Yeah, he's not a big guy either.
And was tough as nails. But I remember him being... He had a fight one night right in front of me, and his thumb was on sideways when he's... Like, he had snapped his thumb, I thought, off. And I remember sitting beside him in the dressing room, and he's like, yeah, it's a little bit sore. It's fine. And I'm like, that is... You need surgery today. And he's one of the toughest guys I've ever played with in my life. Like, and... Amazing. He actually could play a little bit, too.
Well, and Billy Beane, who's the manager of the Oakland Athletics, he was a first-round draft pick in Major League Baseball. And in a story he writes, he says, he played with Lenny Dykstra in the minors. And he goes, when I played with Lenny Dykstra in the minors, that's when I realized I didn't have it. He goes, by playing with Lenny Dykstra. He said, Lenny Dykstra was whatever round pick. He goes, watching him play and watching his determination and everything, he goes, that's when I realized I didn't have it.
Yeah,
they watched him away from the ballpark too.
Oh yeah, Lenny got himself into some trouble at times. That 86 Mets team, like there have literally been many books written about them, documentaries.
Yeah,
I think ESPN did a 30 for 30 on them, and it, like half or a bunch of like a number of players didn't even make it to the parade. Like, imagine winning a championship.
Extra.
Yeah. And
was
Dwight Gooden
on that team? I was going to say Gooden on that.
Gooden was the guy I know didn't make the parade. Like Gooden, and he was in like Brooklyn. It was like in a crack house.
He had
it was
some
bad
problems. Yeah,
yeah. Like imagine sitting there on watching on TV your team's championship parade. I'm assuming going through Queens or wherever it was in New York, and you've been up all night and you just missed it. Like that would be, I think, a moment where you might want to snap out of it. But I'm not sure that he ever really did. Craig Button in studio. I saw you in the lunch today. And I agree with your opinion. I didn't think the Leafs played very well on Saturday night. Now, they got the win.
Yeah.
And you take the 2 points, and you're not going to complain about 2 points. But I didn't think they played particularly well. And afterwards, Morgan Riley came out and said, we wanted to prove that this is a turning point for us. Matthews had the audacity to come out and say it was a statement win.
They got 46 shots.
Yeah. Well, I think the timing with Tavares out and against who it was against.
Right, right.
I'm sure that's
Ross
where they
didn't
were going
start.
With it.
The Boston Bruins said, we're playing our backup goalie against you.
Mm.
That's what the Bruins thought of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Right.
We're playing our backup goalie against you. And they didn't have Krejci.
Yeah. They're not playing well, the Leafs.
Well,
like, that's an understatement. They're
but
really
I mean,
not playing well.
It's a statement game. And then also, like, I mean, I didn't get Mike going, well, we needed that game more than they did. Oh, really, Mike? Like, did Bruce Cassidy come over and tell you, yeah, you know what, you need this game more than us?
Right.
Like, give me a break.
Yeah, that was a weird
just mind comment. Your own business, Mike. You don't start talking about how you needed that game more than they did, but you don't know that.
Well, it also sends a strange message to me, because the games that are going to matter against that team are in April.
Right. Totally like, agree.
Suggesting that this means something in October, I don't think that's a message you want to send.
And we like, said it last week. If Boston beats them every game in the regular season, then it means something. It's like, wow, don't want that matchup. But it's one game.
There's one statement win, in my opinion, this whole season. Fourth win of the first round.
I agree.
That's the only statement win.
100%.
The statement the other night, like to me, that's a loser's mentality. It's like you have to make a statement in October. You want it for your confidence. You want it for, to build the next step. But you're right. Like this is, I don't think anybody's questioning that the Leafs are a playoff team. I think they're a playoff team. Great. But you've got to win a round. And chances are, if it's against Boston, it's going to be tough sledding. They're a really good team. And they match up really well. And, Boston, I thought after the first period, because I thought the Leafs took it to them in the first. I thought they had pretty good pace, and mm-hmm. they turned some pucks over, got some chances, got a couple lucky bounces, but you create your chances. But from the second period on, I thought Boston took over.
Yeah, and I totally agree.
And the thing that concerns me, and I think this is where Mike, it comes to coaching, and Mike has to continue to hammer down on these guys, is their defensive zone coverage, the way that they play in their own zone. And that's not just the defenseman. It's low-hanging fruit to go Marty Marincin and Justin Hull.
Well, it's Austin Matthews, the third goal.
But you're right, on him.
That's an $11.6 million
player. It's five-man units, and they're not. Boston exits the zone quite cleanly. All the top teams in the league can figure stuff out on their own. The Leafs seem to struggle with that, and that's something that they can control because they do have some talent there. They've got puck movers on the back end. They've got guys that can get available. To me, that's attention to detail, and it's not there.
I just wanted to add one thing. The Washington game, outside of the power play goal by John Carlson, I mean, Kerfoot was awful on the one goal. Tavares was awful on the one goal against Kuznetsov. Back to your point about five-man units. I just wanted to add that.
Have you ever chat with your coach, like watching from above, where they continually say they want to work on their own zone, but nothing ever changes in their own zone? I don't get it.
I had a conversation one time with a coach, and I said that we were sitting on the bench, and I said, so let's just pretend we're at war. So we're on this flank, right? And we send out our first flank of soldiers, and they're all getting shot, right? So what happens to the second flank? Like, you keep sending them out to get shot. You wouldn't think about changing your flank and how you're going to attack. And I was trying to put it into a different term. But, Jeff, one of the things with coaches, and I admire it in one sense, but they got to recognize it in another sense. Stubbornness and believing in what you're doing is good, but when it is not working, you better change quick. What did Sean McVay say last year after they lost the Super Bowl? He goes, I never adjusted. I never figured out. And Belichick had completely changed what he did in the championship game to what he was doing against the Rams. And Sean McVay never figured it out.
Right.
So good coaches better figure it out. Because when you're up against really good coaching, they're going to figure it out. And you're going to be left, hey, good series, Jamie. Good series. Yeah, all the best next round.
Yeah. Well, then that's the team you got more tape on than any other team in the league.
Well, don't you think the pregame meeting against the Leafs would be get it in and grind in the corner? Because you're going to have a party?
Well, that's
the game.
Well, I would also say this, Jeff. And, grind it in the corner, win the puck, and then the middle's going to be wide open because you're going to get some great looks in front of the net.
The Brusque goal was an example.
Oh. But that's the thing, testing out. Now, there is new personnel. So I think if you're the Boston Bruins, you're looking at the whiteboard and going, okay, let's see if they play differently. Like, that would be, that would be, I'd be looking at trying out the Russians to see how they are. Are they going to stand up the test of time? How's Tyson Barrie going to hold up in his own zone? Because there's new personnel. And if they either execute or they fall back into how the team played last year. Now, it's only one game and they won. So, yes, you got the 2 points. But to me, it's something you build on. And there's enough tape there to go, that battle has to be won. This detail has to be cleaned up. And there's so much runway left. I think it can be done, but that's what wins in the playoffs. You got to win a 2-1 game. You got to find a way.
I think it's the deja vu that is frustrating because
that's probably what it is.
We've said it,
right?
Many times over the past 3 years. Like, well, they still got a lot of games to figure it out, and then it hasn't in the past.
Right.
And we'll see what happens.
If you want to look at their last 60 regular season games,
not been good. It's been very mediocre.
They're not a playoff team.
Yeah. And that's the reality. That's come up a lot.
And I know we keep talking about their playoff team. Last 60 games, if you look at that record, you look at their points percentage, and you look at it, not a playoff team. So I'm not so prepared to just anoint them a playoff team if they keep playing like this. The Eastern Conference is better. Well, Buffalo's better. Florida, we have to believe Bobrovsky's going to get better. Joel Quenneville behind the bench, better, right? Montreal's better. I just, like, if you think you're just assuming that you're going to be in the playoffs, I think you're in for a long, rude awakening.
Well, I figure one team is going to be eating one pretty big time.
I agree with you, Jeff.
Someone is.
Do you think that maybe that slips into Babs's mind too? Like, he has said that a few times, like, playoffs aren't a lock. You know, we need the points, and maybe that's his thought process with starting Freddie and all of that. I think we're all looking big picture. But ultimately, you're right. These points that you bank early on, those are the difference. You last year Montreal missed by technically, we'll say two, but it's really three. They probably went back and looked at the schedule and looked at the points they pissed away in October and November, and said maybe that's a difference of us making it or not.
Well, let me just break this down real quick. Sorry, Jeff. Just but like Montreal and Toronto played down. Montreal had a 3-0 lead and lost.
Yeah.
Okay, if they hold on to that lead and win, and then they had a lead here in Toronto before they ended up losing. I think they're a 3-2, and then they ended up. They win those two games and beat Toronto. Toronto's out of the playoffs, and Montreal's in. So
last year.
I'm talking last year. I mean, we're just talking two games here where Montreal had the lead in both games. And the 3-0 one, they just blew it. Then the other one, I mean, I think they're up 3-2, and they lost 5-3. But anyway, at the end of the day, it's a fine margin. It's not like they had 112 points last year, and they had this big margin.
Well, the biggest curveball in the division is if Buffalo's actually legit, because that throws everything out of whack.
How can you consider them legit after what they did to us last year?
Yeah,
they won 10 in a row in November.
I don't disagree, but look what they just did in California.
I get it. Like, that's great.
They're playing well.
Didn't you say that last year during the 10 in a row streak?
Yeah, but let me just say that LA is no good.
Right.
And San Jose has their own challenges, and they lost to Anaheim, who is good.
But the only thing I would say...
So 2-3 out there is not bad.
Yeah, and the other thing is those young kids, like this Dahlin's a year older. That Mittelstadt looks to be like a player. They made a couple like nifty moves. I know Jimmy Vesey may not, you know, jump off the charts, but they can
Marcus Johansson's playing well.
They can push somebody else out.
Yeah.
And I was looking at their fourth line. I did the roster the other night on Saturday night. I don't know how that Johan Larsson still has a job there. I think he's a solid player. That guy's been there through thick and thin. And like, I don't know why they haven't cycled past him, but I think Buffalo's they're close to making another step.
Good in the room. Good in the room.
Is that what it is?
Well, it may not even be them, you know, being a playoff team. But if they avoid completely falling off a cliff,
taking points off somebody else,
they
too,
could
right?
Exactly. They could be this year's Montreal. Maybe
well,
they finish 4 points
it down
out
numerous times. When you start like that, it's just about kind of flattening out throughout the rest of the season. Don't have that dip like they did last year, where they literally have to fall off a cliff again to miss the playoffs after that start, putting the points in the bank that they've done thus far.
Right.
Like Toronto did last year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They started so hot, they were about 500 the rest
after
of the
after Christmas, they weren't very good.
But
they were average. I'm not going to say they weren't very good. They were average.
Edmonton, these teams that have had great starts are going, you know, at some point it's going to cool off, but we got the points in the bank. They're going to, you know, wasn't it Montreal that went 9-0 to start the season a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
And they lost in Vancouver on the 10th game, I believe. And they went 500 or something the rest of the year.
But they got in.
They were just jamming away. Like,
I think they were like 13-2-1.
Yeah,
like
that.
But you're right. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Well, who do you have more, if you were putting money down on a playoff future, Edmonton or Buffalo, based on what we've seen?
For me, Edmonton, because I think Kenny Holland sped his team up a little bit at the bottom. Like that Yurko and Nygaard and guys like that. Those guys can be cycled out. Although I shouldn't sleep on Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm
like
that say Allmark. Buffalo looks like they can't possibly do that again. And I think there's a belief, I don't know whether it be with Eichel and Ristolainen and maybe Skinner, but they got a good coach and they like the coach and they seem to be all on board. And well, the coach is going to be an X factor.
I agree with you, Jeff, too. Like, and you start to look down the blue line, too. You got Dahlin, you got Ristolainen, you got Colin Miller, you got Montour, who's out right now, McCabe. Yeah. They got a lot more depth on the blue line than the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah.
And you know what? And, you know, I have more faith in Buffalo. But on that being said, the conference out west isn't great.
No.
Especially that division.
And the Oilers, they banked another point last night.
97-29 aren't getting any worse. I'll tell you that.
Where does Draisaitl rank for you?
He's a top five player in the world.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Like,
totally
he
with
is,
you.
Like, there's, I don't, other than him getting tired later in the game and shifts and stuff, I think he extends his shifts, where he looks really tired.
He's good enough. He can.
I think he's...
I'll tell you this right now. And I'm
I think
gonna,
he's as good as anybody.
I think the talk about Auston Matthews being one of the best players in the league needs to stop. Because he's not as good as Draisaitl. He's not even close to Draisaitl right now. And I know he's a scorer, but in terms of a complete player, not even in that cap, he should never be in the conversation until he shows that he's going to impact the game in the same way.
Yeah, he's got to be more consistent.
That's the thing.
Like Matthews, that's his problem is inconsistency. I think at the top of their game, I love Draisaitl. I think Matthews has more abilities at the top of his game. If he's driven, and I've got a 10 out of 10 game out of both of them tonight.
Right.
Not with McDavid, not with Marner, not with Nylander, just one of them. I would personally take Matthews, but it's close. But if you're talking over 82, I expect Draisaitl to have more impact right now. I can't disagree with that.
But what I'm saying is throw away the if. Until Matthews shows that he can play at that level with the top guys in the league. And that's Crosby, McDavid, McKinnon, you know, all the, like he's not there.
The only thing I would say is Draisaitl, to me, is physically stronger on the puck. That's the, like, Draisaitl would go and win a 50-50 battle.
Mm-hmm. I don't even think you can base anything about Auston Matthews. He doesn't seem to be really, like, on the puck and heavy. It's just
But he scores, and you know what? He'll go and get four goals tonight, and we'll be talking about it tomorrow. And good on him, because, you want goal scorers and you want top players to reach their potential, because it's better for the fan. It's better for the organization. Like, I know, just looking through the league, like, that McKinnon is gross. Like, the goal he scored the other day in overtime, again, like, you know, use the D as a screen, but they're just...
But they keep doing it.
That was on a bad leg.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't sure he was going to play. He took the warm-up, not sure if he was going to play, because he'd been hurt the night before. But, like, you guys were talking about tiers of rinks. So I'm not... Yeah. This isn't about Matthews not being a potentially... Just like stud, that's not. But he's not in that tier. If we're talking about rings, he doesn't get the full ring.
He doesn't get the Rennie Rancourt version.
How did you decide when you guys won the cup who was getting what ring?
Yeah. Jeff, it's one of the hardest things you do, right? Because, you know, you sit down like
somebody must have been pissed.
Well, I think there was more than somebody. I think there was some people because what he did was he wanted a green. He didn't want an emerald. So Tom Hicks, the owner, he went to Australia and he found these green diamonds. So then, and they couldn't cut it, so they had to put different pieces, and they were really expensive. So that was the separator. So, you know, the top tier ring was the green diamonds in the ring, and everybody else just got regular diamonds, right? But it was the Stars logo.
So how many people got green diamonds?
Oh, I'm going to say probably about 40.
Like players 48, got green diamonds?
Oh, yeah. All players, the players, coaches, the trainers.
Owners,
yeah,
didn't get a green
they all did.
So you got green diamonds.
I did, yeah.
Oh, boy, Craigie.
So and mine's in a safe deposit box.
What Brian's saying is that Darren Pang didn't get a blue diamond. Right. That's what it is.
He's been on this all day.
I asked Panger,
I'm like, is your ring the same as Petrangelo's? And he wrote back, yes, exactly the same.
Well, I have to believe Darren Pang.
I
no reason to
right.
lie.
Why would
I
he lie
right.
about it? He wouldn't lie.
Maybe it was a wrong conclusion.
You drew the wrong conclusion.
Maybe he drew the wrong conclusion. Maybe he was told, hey, they're very similar.
Here's the thing, though. When you're making the decision, you don't go to the Zamboni driver who got one and said, you're not getting ours, you're getting this one. You probably just say,
hey, there you go.
There you go.
Look at them. They all
and
look the same.
And the Zamboni driver probably says, I'm getting the same one as Brett Hull.
Right.
But I delivered rings to a lot of the scouts and different people, and they were thrilled to get the ring. But that's not where the issues are. The issues are right on the, like, you know, that differentiating point. And it was also...
You got to pick that poor bastard, the first one that doesn't get the green diamonds. You're like, sorry, pal. Yeah. Sorry, pal.
Yeah.
Bobby Boucher. Yeah.
That's a no guy.
Yeah, it's tough. Honestly, it is. It is. It really is.
Yeah. And you probably walked in with your ring on to say, sorry, pal, you're not getting it.
And it's random lunch. No green diamonds.
We're all out. That's you just missed.
Yeah, everything else is the same, right? I'll tell you the other thing that was tough was like getting down to whose name went on the cup.
Right. How many people can get on?
I don't know exactly what the number is, and you can't make it small like font. Yeah, it's all it's the
like
same font.
Where it said, or something.
Right, yeah, it's very defined on what you can do and how you do it, right? So, you know, you're sitting down at the end and going, okay, who goes on? Who, and like, you're, holy geez, like, it's that, yeah. That's another tough one.
That's tough.
And number three trainer, no guy. Number two, probably.
But if there's like a trainer that's been there for like 30 years, yeah. Like Brian Papineau is getting his name on the cup. You got to think.
Yeah. Oh, he's, well, I mean, you would think. Our PR guy, Larry Kelly, his name was Larry Kelly, his name went on the cup, and he was as honored as anything to feel that, like, my name went on the cup, but he was unbelievable.
There you go. All right, Craig. Good seeing you, man. What are you doing tonight? You doing Nats hockey?
Do a little TH. Yeah, and then some
Sports Center SC, night.
Yeah, and Sports Center night.
All right, we got a big night tonight.
Let's see what they can do tonight.
Yep. There you go.
And
try to get Lisa LaFlamme on the panel tonight. See if she's busy or not.
Busy.
Yeah, I would assume she is.
Actually, I'm going to go over and give a little bit of analysis on the election.
That's what you should do. Just walk onto the set and start yelling about something.
Do a libero. Just break
it
down.
Yeah, we can do a libero. Yeah, that'd
be spectacular.
John King on CNN, that's what I'd really like to do when he pulls it. We got to go down into the things. He pulls it
it's
out.
The best.
Here's where the hat is.
Whoever's like, Wolf Blitzer's like, I have no idea what you're doing, but it looks great.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
Like, he has no clue what he's talking about.
That map is unbelievable. It's spectacular. Pull it in, he pulls it out. Here's where the numbers are.
Here, look at this. Pike County in Philly, and they're like right in there. It's like, how do you know that?
Well, it's like 95% of the election in the United States doesn't matter. It comes down to this.
One
comes down
county
to Florida and one county.
Yeah.
So funny.
All right, Craig. Good seeing you, buddy.